Nation whose God is the Lord.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
We are so grateful to be living in this country.
Yes,
Father, we thank you that we can gather together as believers without fear of persecution from any government officials. It's a freedom we have never taken for granted. We are grateful for the people that maintain this freedom for us, whether it's the officials, Father, that govern us by our consent, the people that are standing posts right now that are in the military, wherever they happen to be, stateside or abroad, guaranteeing our freedom. We not forget. We are humbled by it, Father, and we are grateful for it. And we are thankful that the Word of God, we can study it, we can feed upon it this night, and it's going to be in our hearts and out our mouths. And we just thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Got to be grateful. You may be seated. And boy, that's what a great song, huh?
Amen.
To be introduced. Wow. Well, when last we left our hero, you know, I've been ministering out of Acts chapter 12, and you'd think an elder in his church would figure some way to get Peter out of prison in less than 8 months. but God has other plans. So open up your Bible to Acts chapter 12, and we actually started. Can you imagine? We started this in December. Here we are. It's we're looking at September already. Praise God. Bring everybody up to speed, just a little review. I'm going to take a whole lot of time to review because I think everybody knows what's happening here. Herod is on the rampage. He is persecuting the church to the point to where he's throwing people in prison. He's having people killed. Spirit hasn't changed.
Nope.
Looking at it today, amen? Same things. Remember I told you I was going to try to bring something to the pulpit. It's happening in the news right now. I would encourage you to continue to pray for the people that are in captivity. Our brothers and sisters in Christ are in captivity. The pastor that's being held right now in Turkey, everybody's aware of that story, yes? Turkey's not our friend.
Yeah.
Just know what's happening over there. Okay, this man was accused of spying. He's obviously not. So that's the accuser of the brethren just trying to take him out. It's not just there either. We've got pastors also in trouble and in jail in Canada for preaching the Word of God. You can imagine our northern friends.
Yeah.
So please keep them in prayer. That's what we're supposed to do. But Brother Peter has been arrested. This is his third time we've talked about this. He is in prison. He is in a physical prison. The more I've studied this, the more God has revealed some things to me. And I'm going to try to help you with some things tonight that really, it helped me. Let's see what the Holy Spirit has. I'm going to start reading, and you'll have to forgive me because I'm having trouble picking up the actual verses, but I think it's number 6. I'm in a real good fight with these eyeballs, so bear with me, church, and I covet your prayers also. Psalm 20, or Proverbs 20:12, the hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord is the maker of them both.
Come on.
Amen? My eyesight will not dim and my natural strength will not abate, just like God's servant Moses. But verse 6 says, Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. And I'm just going to keep on this point, how important prayer is, how important our prayer meetings are here once a month, how important pre-service prayer is, and I'm really encouraging everybody to be here. We have a prayer list. Dean, that prayer list, if we could just get half the people to show up that are on that prayer list just to pray.
Amen.
To help us out with that. I mean, that's a labor, let me tell you. Not a complaint. You understand? I'm not complaining about that. And to this point, I discussed this with Pastor Bannon last week about it. I said, what are we doing here? I mean, seriously, what are we doing here? There are people that need prayer. I'm on that list.
Amen.
A lot of the folks in this room are on that list. Amen. We need prayer. There's a lot of folks that aren't, that are on that list that never show up here for prayer. I don't understand why. And I'm talking about church members. I'm not talking about people that were praying, friends and family that don't attend here. But constant prayer, it's designed for us to continue. If you were to continually pray for some situations around you, you wouldn't have time to, the rest of the world wouldn't affect you. Because you wouldn't have time to be affected by other things. So it's important, and not just when it's, Peter's in a crisis right now. He's in prison. This is not like he's serving 30 days and they're going to let him out.
That's right.
There's a death sentence on him.
Yep.
Herod's already killed a bunch of people. He's imprisoned people. And now the Jewish people are excited about it. They're so happy that the one brother was killed. They can't wait to see Peter killed.
Yeah. Right.
They're excited. How insane is that? How insane is that?
Come on, Dan.
So that you see how that spirit's at work right now anyway. And just pray for the family. They found that young lady, that college student's been, and then we have government officials that are saying that's just one person, and, you know, and it's no big deal. And that's that same stinking spirit. If that girl's death doesn't bring you to your knees and realize what we need to do in this country to seal our borders up and keep the United States what the United States.
Yeah, come on.
You know, you can't let everything from over there come to here.
That's right.
Without here becoming what's over there.
Come on, brother.
You follow what I'm saying to you? Okay. Enough political stuff. Sorry. Peter has a death sentence on him. Now, I know what I've gone through work, business relations, family members that have had troubles and problems, how it's kept me awake at night. But my brother Peter here, and again, it just doesn't escape me. He's asleep. We're going to talk. We have to talk about this because there's just a couple things here. And when Herod was about to bring him out, again, Herod was going to bring him out to kill him. That night, Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers. Let me read this one, and then we'll go back and dissect this. And the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Now behold, an angel. Thank you for that song, Pastor Jack. We'll talk about appropriate. It says, now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter on the side of the and raised him up. He was like sound asleep.
Yeah.
He was like sound asleep.
Yeah.
Man, God bless him. That's man. And he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise quickly. And his chains fell off his hands. Then the angel said to him, gird yourself and tie on your sandals. And so he did. And he said to him, put on your garment and follow me. The angel says, follow me. Probably a good idea to follow him, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And he said, and put on your sandals and your garment and follow me. So he went and followed him. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And he did not know what was, and did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. And when they were past the first and the second guard post, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. Now, I know the last time we got together, I had a little bit of fun, because I'd have stopped him and said, hey, these guys are really asleep, we can't wake them up. And I'd have been writing the word losers on their forehead, taking pictures of them. I'd have been doing all kinds of things, but you know, but that's just my sense of humor, right? but because the angel would have been going, yeah, okay, Danny, we got to go. We really got to go now. So, but these guys did not wake up. Look to Proverbs. We'll come back to this. Look to Proverbs chapter 3. Everybody doing okay?
Yes, sir.
And when Jack asked me if I wanted to do this, I said, you know what, Jack, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this or not. And then I thought about it. I said, you know what, I'm going to do this if I have to have somebody else read the scriptures for me.
Amen.
That's just how it is.
Yes, sir.
That's just, I mean, Proverbs chapter 3. And no, we're not going to go, not the one you think. We're going to go down all the way down to verse 21. Maybe. It says, my son, let them not depart from your eyes. That is, keep sound wisdom and discretion. Don't let them depart from your eyes. So they will be life to your soul and grace to your neck. Then you will walk safely in your way, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, even if you're chained to a couple guards, you will not be afraid. Sounds a lot like Psalm 91.
Yeah.
Yes, and you will lie down and your sleep will be sweet.
Yes.
There is just something to be said about sweet sleep and rest.
Yeah.
Philippians chapter 4. And you know what? I'm going to do this in the Amplified, and then I'll jump back to the... One nice thing about the electronic thing, I can jump back and forth here. Philippians chapter 4, we'll start reading in verse 6. It says, do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. Not anything. And that's a really easy statement to make, but you know, when life's beating on your head...
Yeah.
The kids are running wild, the job isn't going right, bills are coming in here, this is going wrong, that's going... That's the noise he used to talk about, you got to just turn that down. Because don't fret or have anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition, well, some places say supplication. Definite requests is what the Amplified says. When you pray, be specific. You know, don't go by my early Christian prayer when I forgot to pray, like, God bless the planet.
That's right.
Remember my God bless the planet. I was too tired to pray for anything specific. So, God, let's bless the planet. Be specific. We have a very specific, very detail-oriented God, very orderly God. So whatever you're believing for, whatever you're asking for, be specific about what you're asking for. With thanksgiving, you cannot get away from a grateful heart. That's just, you just have to be grateful. Not necessarily grateful for the circumstances that you're in, but grateful that there is a that He's the way.
Yes.
He's the answer. Yes. Jesus, we just sang about that tonight also. Man. He is the answer.
Yes,
he is the way.
Yes,
not a way, not a answer, but the answer.
The way.
Boy, there's a big difference. Huh? A and that's what, huh? That little word. Definite request with thanksgiving. Continue to make your wants known to God. And God's peace shall be yours. Boy, Dean, this is so good. That tranquil state of soul assured of its salvation through Christ. And so fearing nothing from God and being content with its earthly lot of whatever sort that is, that peace which transcends all understanding.
Yeah.
Your brain will not comprehend this. The people around you will not comprehend this. That transcends all that understanding. Shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That's the sweetness, okay? That's the sweet, brings the sweet sleep. And jump down to, verse 11. Same chapter. And Paul says, you know, not that I am implying that I was in any personal want, for I have learned the circle of experience. I have learned how to be content, satisfied to the point where I am not disturbed or disquieted. That's why the sleep is sweet.
Right.
In whatever state I'm in, I know how to be abased and live humbly and in straitened circumstances, and I know how to enjoy plenty and live in abundance. I have learned in any and all circumstances the secret of facing every situation, whether well-fed or going hungry, having a sufficiency and enough to spare or going without and being in want. I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for any and equal to anything through Him who infuses inner strength into me. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. You know, when you go back to the beginning of that, he says, I know how to be abased and not mean want, and I know how to have plenty. The order of things has always fascinated me in the Bible. How many people have we seen go from just have wealth foisted upon them, either through winnings, through athletic scholarships or whatever, and their soul never prospered to handle that? So there's a humbling experience, there's a circle of experience, and if you can learn, it doesn't say you have to be, okay, this is where I'm going to stay, but a contentment. Contentment is learned. It's a circle of experience. So you really can lie down and sleep. If, I don't know if you watch Joyce Meyer at all. I love her. And she's, the last few weeks, have really been talking about the taking care of this this earth suit that God has given us. And one of the things she talks about is sleep. People just don't get enough sleep. And there are certain people that just can function on 4 hours of sleep. I need 7 to 8 hours of sleep. That's what I need. And most bodies, and Doc, I guess you can attest to that. If you're not, and you know what? You can sleep and not rest. Boy, there's a big difference there. Sleeping is not necessarily resting, because if your mind's running 100 miles an hour, your sleep is not going to be sweet. So your body's actually not going to rest at all. So here's Peter. He's going to die, folks. He knows it. Everybody knows it. People are expecting it. He's asleep. I'd be chewing at the chains or something.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, let's go back to, we'll go back to Acts chapter 12. And we'll get back to the New King James Version. Okay, so it says, suddenly, or behold, an angel of the Lord stood before him. We talked about angels last time we were together. I'm gonna talk to a couple more things about angels. If you remember what I said about angels, I got a couple note cards here, because this was too lengthy to try to commit to memory. I never commit anything to memory, I can commit to paper. Because this just works better. This just works better. No, that's right. Angels of the Lord. We talked about how they appeared to Daniel and how they appeared to what we call Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Not their godly names, but Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The angels are watching over us. They are spirits sent to minister to each and every one of us. Are you loosing the angels every day? If you're not, I would encourage you to do that. It's not, my wife and I do that every, we've been doing it every morning since we've been saved, since Pastor taught on it. Around us, around our kids, around our grandkids, or our family. And I'm talking about my sisters also, that's what we do. And just asking them to watch over them. Now, are there certain things you can do in your life to nullify what the angels are trying to do for you? If you're taking your car 90 miles an hour, they may have gotten off at 55 or
That's
60
right.
and said, we don't want to watch this. Mm-hmm. And there's been times when I had to apologize to the angels for making them watch some of the dumb things that I've done. Oh, that was my wife laughing, in case you wonder. For those on the tape, you couldn't hear that. I wrote a couple of facts down here. This, angels are mentioned a bunch of times in the Bible. They appeared to man 104 times. The one time they didn't. Let's read about the one time that they didn't appear. This is one of those things I just wished would have happened. Look to Matthew chapter 26. I always imagined this, but this would have been great. But God had other plans, but God.
Yeah.
Matthew 26. I like it, though. And we'll go all the way down to verse 53. See if I can see this here. Okay, this is a tough one for me to see here. Okay, Lord, clear this vision up.
Yep.
All right, maybe, Dean, maybe you can find this for me. I'm looking at 53.
Or do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father
presently,
and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels?
I often wonder, how many angels do you think there are? I thought about that. I just, I could just see like Gabriel saying, "Okay, Angel, I need to get you guys all together. I need 72,000 of you. I have a small task because a legion is 6,000. There's Jesus and 11 disciples now. Judas is no longer. 6,000 times 12 is 72,000 angels that could have been brought on scene right now. All Jesus had to say was, "Hey, guys, I need you." And I just wished he would have just done it for just a few seconds because the guards and everybody would have just went, would have just passed out. Remember when the servant came to Elisha and said, oh my God, we're going to die. The city's full chair. Yeah, and he said, "Calm down, son." He said, "Lord, open the guy's eyes and let kid's eyes, let him see." And he saw all the chariots and horses around about Elisha in the mountains. It was full, right? Awesome stuff. Because Gabriel said, "Okay, you guys are on standby because if Jesus wants us, he's going to get it, right?" Well, Jesus said, "If I do that, man, then we can't fulfill all the other scriptures that were written." But just imagine, just for just a few seconds, that all those guys would have showed up at the same time. Now, you read it, I think it's Isaiah, and maybe it's Ezekiel, where one angel slew in one night 185,000 Assyrians. This group of 72,000 angels could have, without any problem, done in over 11,320,000,000 people. That's approximately 9 million more than are alive on the earth right now. Right. Just one angel can kill it. And so they're watching over us.
Amen.
Please don't say, so I said, "Lord, just all the arrogance and all the people that were hitting Jesus and spitting on him, all the things that were, they just showed up." It had been all they could, because those guys would have dropped over dead. They'd have been days cleaning up the mess.
That's right.
Just 72,000 angels. Oh, my.
Yeah, buddy.
And you said, you know, they've got to be, I've always said this, you know, I know it sounds like I'm repeating myself, and I am repeating myself, but one of the first things the angels say when they appear to people is, "Don't be afraid." So they've got to be imposing, impressive-looking beings, because that's the first thing up. Or, you know, "Don't fall down and worship me." That's the other great thing. Angels aren't into the worshiping. They're ministering spirits. They're servants like we are. That's just how it is. Now, you got to understand, too, there's different parts in the Bible that talks about angels and the angels of the Lord. And if the angel, or if it's capitalized in your different Bibles, that's actually Jesus or the Father, or the Holy Spirit appearing. Like they did to Abraham, okay?
Right.
Okay, and Abraham said, "You know, stay, let me feed you." And those guys said, "Okay, we'll sit and have a meal with you. We're going to go. Sarah's going to have a baby." Okay, yeah, he laughed about it. And go down to Sodom and Gomorrah. And angels actually are physical beings that can think, speak, touch, you know. Look what they did for Lot. Then people outside of Lot's door said, "You know, send out your daughters. Send the guys out." And the angels just said, "You know, we've heard all this. We're going to hear." And they grabbed Lot, pulled him back in, and said, "Okay, boy, here's how it is. Get you, your daughters, your son-in-laws, and get out of here because we're going to melt this place." I want the angels on my side. I don't know how the rest of you feel. But I don't want to run out of time tonight. And again, we may not ever get through this, but as I was reading this again and again and again and again, and I asked God, I said, "Please show me something else in this. You couldn't have just dedicated all these words here in this paragraph just for a guy that's in prison," which is very important. And I really sat there, and it wasn't God's audible voice, but things started coming to my heart that I never thought about. And I don't know how many times I've read this. But you think about Peter's captivity right now. And what he is going through. Well, he's sleeping right now, yeah. Okay, now the angel has now got his attention, woke him up. Okay, Peter's in prison. He's got chains on his hands. He's chained to a guard on each side. He has guards standing in front of him, a couple squads. And then beyond all that, there are the prison walls itself and the gate. And make sure.
Right.
Okay? He's in prison. Mr. Osmond, you know what I'm talking about, the men behind the walls. Dean?
Had to be
Anthony?
In prison. For that.
In prison. Okay? This is a physical prison. So I'm really asking God, what about this? What about this? What about this? And this is how the Holy Spirit said to me. He says, think about this. The chains that are on his hands. The chains that are on our hands. Because we are all being tried to be held prisoner by Satan. That's his motive to stop us. Chains hinder you. They don't stop you. Think about this now. Chains are attached to your flesh. What's attaching itself to your flesh right now that's hindering you? You know, with chains on your hands, you can still do things. You can function. You can't function at your fullest. You can't function at the best that God wants for you. But with chains on your hands, you're still able to move. You're mobile. And think of the things that attach itself to your flesh that tries to stop you from doing what God wants you to do or what he wants you to be.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's a bad habit.
Come on.
A little bit of smoking, a little bit of drinking. Not condemning. Understand, this is not a condemnation. Think about the chains that are on you. The things that you allow, permit to come into your life as far as through your television. What you listen to. What you talk about. What you eat. What you drink. I'm decided I'm not going to go to church this week. Maybe I'm going to go next week. And maybe I'll go the following week. And just little habit-forming things that put chains on you. Doesn't stop you from functioning. Oh, you still look like a Christian. Oh, yeah. But you're just not functioning the way God wants you to function. I said, oh, man, I never. Just little things. It's the little foxes. Think about the stuff you let to come into you now, onto your flesh now that you would never. Whether it's someone wants to tell you a funny joke. You want to hear this joke? No, I really don't. You know, I don't want to hear a dirty joke. I don't want to hear that. Please. The things that you listen to on TV. Things that come in off the radio. Just think about the things that the world tries to attach to you.
Yeah.
Just the slow. Oh, the weight that so easily besets us. I'm not even going to read the scripture. So easily besets us as we're trying to run that race. Chains would slow you down. Didn't say you would stop. They didn't say that you weren't going to run the race, but it was hindering you.
Yeah.
What is preventing you from running the race to its full potential? And you may not even be conscious of it. You might have to actually start thinking about what you're doing now. I mean, and I'm telling you, this is me too. I'm not just talking about anybody in this room or anybody that's listening. This is me also. This is everyday stuff.
Yeah.
It's the everyday stuff that can beat you.
Yeah.
Well, remember, you've heard me say this before too, when the Israelites were in the desert, between the sea departing, manna falling from the sky, quails filling the tents, water coming from the rock, between all those miracles, or every day, just to beat you down. We're tired of this bread. Is this all we're going to get is bread? So he sent quail until he was sick of them. Just think about that just for a second, how they had nothing. They were in captivity. They were set free.
Yes.
And now they're complaining about
yes.
They don't the water, the long journey. We go back to Israel. Go back to Egypt. We can die. There's graves. There's no graves out here. So the chains that attach themselves to your hands to try to stop you from functioning for whatever God wants you to do. Paul called them a light affliction. Paul's afflictions were anything but light. He called them a light affliction. So I said, okay, that's the chains. What about the guards? You know what the guards represent? Guards represent the people that come into your life that are going to try to just keep you from doing anything.
Right.
Do you remember when you first got saved? Oh, man. You know, you were on fire. You were excited about it.
Yes, sir.
Same way. Couldn't wait. Said, man, I am so happy God saved me. I'm going to go to my family because none of them are going to go to hell if I can help it. And they just thought I was a complete idiot.
Amen.
You know, and I guess there's a lot of evidence. But they did. People that come into your life that... I was told I used to be a lot of fun until I got saved. I was told some horrible, horrible things. You joined a cult and all the standard
right.
Satan rhetoric that he puts in people's mouths. But then, you know, you think about people, it could be your boss. What do you mean you got to go to church on Wednesday night? You have to work Wednesday night. Sunday? No, you're going to have to work at least two Sundays a month. You got saved? I remember you when you played in the bar and the things that you did. All the things of what you said. Denny, I remember your nightclub routine. When you were the entertainment everywhere you went. Boing, boing, the stuff that comes to your head. These are people that come across your path that are guarding your way to keep you from doing what God wants you to do. Oh, no, I know about your past. You could minister to youth, stand in a pulpit and preach, sing, lead people in praise and worship service. Are you kidding me? Help out at the church? Come on. Man, your rags are filthy. There's no way you... So that's what the guards absolutely represent that. They are the people that come into your life that try to hinder you. And we all have them.
Yes, we do.
And unfortunately, some of it's family, some of it's old acquaintances. I don't want to say friends, because, man, they're not friends.
That's right.
They may be your acquaintances, but they're not friends. But they want to stop you. Satan wants to stop you. So now, okay, so maybe you manage to get rid of some of the chains, okay? And your associations, the people you associate with, your friends, you call friends, the people that you know, if they're trying to pull you down by keeping you out of church, those relationships need severed. This is not a doctrine I'm telling you what to do, but think about how you're being hindered. God doesn't want that for us. He just doesn't want that as believers. So you can do the chains of 30, 60, the people are done. Now, here we go. Here we go with the actual prison walls, what actually happens to us. No, I didn't forget about the Bible. I still have a few scriptures written down here. Let's look to 2 Timothy chapter 3. I really wanted to read this. Look at the people that are going to try to come into our lives. Look at this right now. We'll go back to the guards being the people that come into your life. But know this, in the last days, perilous times will come. These are not new scriptures. We are in the last days, perilous times are here. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Here's the order, unthankful, unholy. Once you become unthankful, you'll become unholy, and you'll be unloving, unforgiving, slanderers. Boy, if you're in a bunch of people that just want to slander and gossip and talk about, that's another thing that you don't want any part of. You don't want that stuff on you. These are people. Now, these aren't chains on your hands. These are people. Chains can't slander you. People slander you. Okay? Slanderers, without self-control, brutal despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness. You sure look like a Christian on the outside, but denying its power. And this is what it says in the Bible, and from such people, turn away. This is what I mean by some of the relationships, not relatives, but relationships as friends, acquaintances, associates, co-workers, people that just, you know, come on, have a beer. Oh, come on, one beer, come on. Come on, have a beer with us. Who's going to see you? Who's going to have, what do you, who knows? God, well, God knows, the angels know. There's a couple witnesses right there that I would want to not get on the bad side of. Come on, we're just going to sit around and smoke a little weed. What's the big deal then? You know, come on. Yike. Second Timothy chapter 4, verse 14. Okay, to me it sounds like I'm rambling. Is everybody following me? I'm trying not to get... Because, you know, you get, God starts showing you things. You get excited about the stuff. You really do. No, Dean, you know the beating you take on your head up here. It's just, it's amazing. It really is amazing. Did I say verse 14? That's got a 1 out of 4, right? Listen, Alexander the coppersmith, there's a man, a person, did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. You also must be aware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words, which is exactly what Satan's going to do. He's going to send people into your life to greatly resist God's word that's in you, the word that you're trying to tell other people, trying to witness. You can't talk to that person in the parking lot. They're going to laugh at you. Pray for somebody. Pray for somebody like outside in a grocery store or somewhere else, and you know, out and about. Come on. People are going to think you're crazy. Look to Ephesians chapter 4. We'll talk about walls. And I'm probably running out of time here, but this is not going to be the end of this, I can assure you. Ephesians 4. Let's see where we are here. Unless I wrote something down wrong. I don't think I wrote it wrong. We'll see. Dean, what's your Bible? How many verses is Ephesians chapter 4 have?
32.
Okay, let's go to 31. See, the things that happen in your life can cause walls to be built around you. And not walls in a good way. 31 says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ has forgiven you or forgave you. The Lord showed me is if you have to go through past hurts, past disappointments, get fired from a job, you know my story, things that you want to dwell on, somebody has hurt your children, something has gone horribly wrong, and you have not let it go, it can become a stronghold, which right. A stronghold is walls. Okay? That's one way that you can get into a stronghold. Another thing that puts a wall around you is if you get a sentence of a bad health report or a bad economic situation, can make you just shrink away and put them walls up. No trespassing. Big walls with iron gates. Yes. You can't let that happen to you. It's easy, because if you start to think about it, before you know it, it becomes a stronghold in your mind, and you might as well just be behind them four cement walls with the iron gates on it. That's how locked up you are.
Yeah.
Fear is one. Mm-hmm. Fear absolutely build a wall around you and stop you from functioning. Right? You know, that's once that happens, I mean, you'll be no sweet sleep then.
No.
You let that fear run rampant. Mm-hmm. You think about Peter, he's going to die, and he's not even crying out to God. Imagine, you would think he'd be on his knees asking God to deliver him. He's sleeping. We have to get to that point. We just have to get to that point because God's in control of it. And oh my God, if Peter knows if he was to die, as Paul said, to die is gain. He's out of here. That's and he'll right. laugh at the rest of all those people that are sitting around that dark
right.
prison with walls and chains and
yes,
silly things. Unforgiveness, like I said, that's a biggie.
Yes.
Unforgiveness is a big one. And, you listen to some of the things that people have forgiven, and you wonder, that's got to be the grace of God, because it took me a couple of years to forgive the people to do what they did to me, but God really got a hold of me about it. And I said, if it wasn't for the teaching in this church, if it wasn't for the foundation I had here, I'd have been the guy you'd have been reading about or hearing on Channel 11 News with fatigues on. I'm serious with a rifle. I'm kidding. I'm not kidding you. Yeah, that was my mentality back in the day. Get even with them.
Yeah.
Get even with them.
Don't get mad.
Yeah. Don't get mad. Yeah. You can't beat them, brick them. That's my dad once with a brick. Yeah. It's just, yeah. Just a great mentality, right? Just an absolutely great mentality. Yeah. Words from the street. Words from the street. So that's, it took me years, but I finally did. I finally actually absolutely released them. And I said, I told you this before, a lot of those people that did things to me that ever had gave me a reason why had some horrible things happen to them, and I never prayed on them. I wouldn't do that. No, because I still believe in sowing and reaping. You know, what you're sowing, you're going to reap. I'm sorry. I'm just not going to do it. You know, I just, so, you know, I've got to battle for my own health. I can't be any more in walls in front of me than I'm trying to tear down now. Okay, where are we, Pastor Jack, as far as time goes? He said, first word, sounds like.
You're out of here.
Now he's showing me hieroglyphics. I'm looking at a 5 written on the edge. It's 2 hours and 27 minutes. First down and 5 to go. All right. You know what? We're gonna stop there, but I want you just to think about Peter's captivity, the 3 phases of it, and the captivity that Satan's trying to put us in. And those 3 phases.
He is.
And don't let the stuff cling to your flesh.
That's right.
Try to shut the people off that are trying to affect you in any bad way. And then just don't dwell on things that are going to build a stronghold wall around you to where you're actually going to need an angel to show up to knock a gate down or over or open. You know, it's funny, as you read this, you know, they leave the city because we don't have time to read it, but we're going to read it. As they leave the city, the gate opens of its own accord, right? Yep. And Peter and walk through it, and then the angel leaves him, and he doesn't even get a chance. And, you know, it would have been, I got a couple questions. Gone, right? So he heads down the street, heads to the house, right? Walks up to the house, and if it's me, I'm walking up the house, and I know that gate's going to open. And bang! I'd have walked right into that stupid gate because the girl wouldn't even open the gate for him. She's jumping up and I'm going, oh, it's Peter. And then never even opened the gate. But I'd have looked up and said, really? The first one opened. What was wrong with this one? Because I'd have walked right into it. So, all right. You know what? Merry heart doeth good as a medicine. God bless you. Thank you for listening. And we'll pick this up again. And maybe by the end of the year, Peter will be out of prison if we do this right. All right, let's close and we'll stand. And fathers, thank you very much for allowing me to do this. And thank you for all the attentive ears that were here. And Father, we just ask now that the Holy Spirit just lead and guide us everywhere that we go and what we do and say. And we ask that the angels, the ministering spirits, the ones you've given to us, we just humbly ask you to commission them to go ahead of us, to make our path straight and safe, to be encamped about us and our family and all the people we know and love until we can gather together again on Sunday. We look forward to being here in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And amen.